Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nunez, a good bad ball hitter off the left-handers.
That is hammered in the left. It is gone. Pinch hit three-run home run, Nunez. And the Red Sox open up game one. 8-4 here in the seventh.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you.
So Gary Bertier got blindsided.
I walked out this morning, and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to.
See, this is the problem. Most of the music we play, Dan has no clue.
I talked to James last night.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Was he coherent?
What did he say?
Was he hanging out with Peter Gammons?
He was a little nervous.
He was nervous. For what?
Let Peter Gammons get him all nervous?
Big moment.
Even James Taylor thought the introductions were too long. He was. Do you see that? Him giving the sign like, come on, come on. They're introducing him and he thought it wasn't going fast enough. He was irritated. He's like, right. Come on, let's go.
His wife is one of the great Red Sox honks of all time. She loves the Red Sox. He could kind of take it or leave it, but his wife is...
Oh, even better.
That's what happens there.
Bring a guy in that can either take it or leave it.
A guy Taylor. Like yourself. Hates baseball like yourself there, Zoe.
James
like
Taylor, that. Not even a baseball fan.
No, he's a Carolina guy. He wasn't really part of his growing up.
Let's go thing, fishing.
You know, yeah, thing. But his wife is a complete honk. She loves it. We love her.
Jim Lowther get along with her.
What?
I said Jim Louth would get
along.
Oh, with
yeah.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's probably got her Veritech jersey on today, too.
Yeah. Just like Jim.
He'll be in the first ball ceremony tonight, the 04 team.
Do you have any idea who is going to be included in that and who won't be included?
I think we can probably guess.
It'll be Folk. It'll be Veritech.
You know that Ortiz is there because he's already there.
Ortiz.
Wakefield.
Millar, I got to think, is going to.
Pedro, we already know. They've already promised us Pedro.
You know, Shill's one I'm wondering about, kind of. You know, can he take the tin foil off his head for a night and get down there? You know, if he can do that.
It'd be nice if he did.
I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
I think that would be nice if he did that.
Contributor.
If he came back tonight and was a part of that, I think that would be good.
And Roberts,
I'd like
kind of awkward for Dave Roberts.
I'd like to see, you know what, just to like everybody put everything aside for a second.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Wow, there's Schilling out
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
And the crowd would go nuts
absolutely.
For him.
Yes, they would.
Come out with a bloody sock
absolutely.
On. That'd be awesome.
All about it.
I'd like to see Schilling there tonight. I hope he.
Me too.
I hope
put
he
all
got,
the nonsense
I hope he got
aside
1-1.
For 2 minutes.
I hope he got the invite because
oh,
I have
sure
no idea if he did.
No, they would have to. They would.
You would think, but you never know.
That would be bad. If he didn't get the invite, that would be outrageous.
I hope he got the invite. And I hope
he had to get the invite.
I hope he takes him up on it.
Yeah, me too.
I hope he does. Yeah. I hope he shows.
Always good to see the big lug.
you and him don't get along. That that's we right. know. Yeah. You guys don't see eye to eye. Dan, how about this team where they're at right now?
Wow. I am so in now. You know what a doubter I was all year. You know, doubting Thomas, you know, didn't believe it. You know, show ponies, too many games against the Orioles, all this stuff like that. It was, yeah, thank you. So I needed to see it in October, and then I did. You did. We all did. So in my view, the thing flipped. After they left game two here against the Yanks, it's 1-1, sky is falling, and then since then, they've won 7 out of 8. They've won 5 straight on the road. They're just steamrolling people. They eliminated 200-win teams, and the Dodgers, they don't suck. I mean, they didn't win 100, but and they're in a crappier league. But they have a lot of players that are good.
I said it earlier, too. Your boy can't even screw it up tonight. Like, he could go three and are still going to bail his ass out.
So I think he, I'm telling you, I think he's their best pitcher now.
He's house money tonight, I think.
Yeah.
Really.
He's over the hump. I mean, that soft landing in Houston, you know, 2,000 miles from the bloodthirsty prong of
Fenway. Nobody would be surprised if he gets taken out in the third inning or it doesn't work out tonight. You'd be shocked if he goes seven tonight.
Well, not me. But
you wouldn't.
It sort of flies in the face of
what they're
doing.
It's going to be windy and blustery tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be colder. It's colder tonight. That's absolutely true. I just think, you know, he was dazzling in that last outing, and I think he's got the confidence now to be the David Price that he was. So I think all the nonsense is kind of cleaned away from his head. That's what I'm thinking. So, and I, you know, he threw great. If you remember, that's a good Houston lineup. His changeup was on the black. I mean, he struck out nine and walked none. Six innings. It was really his best game under pressure ever for this team, certainly. So, yeah, I think that stuff's behind him, and they're really playing with the house money now. They have outscored their opponents 64-39 in the postseason, and these are good teams. I mean, and again, Betts isn't doing much of anything. He's hitting like .230. We know Kimbrel has been skittish. Sale is barely a contributor in this whole thing. If you look at it now, they're going to do this without these guys. It doesn't matter. You know, Nooney comes up, three-run jack. I mean, it's like they're just destined, and they're getting legitimate contributions from a lot of guys. And that bullpen that we've been mocking all year, everything they said came true with Porcello and Evaldi coming in. Even like Joe Kelly in high-leverage games. Whoever thought that would happen?
Joe Kelly's had himself a postseason. Yeah. The bullpen on the whole, last night again, five innings, one run from the bullpen.
Yeah. They were dazzling. And it's everything that they want. I mean, I hate to see like
when they
seven
hit, they
pitchers
win.
In a game.
This is
like
what
that.
Is happening. Yeah. When they hit, they win. And we've said that. If they do hit, if they continue
they hit
to hit,
the way to
even when the pitching gets better, even when they're facing Clayton Kershaw, they were hitting last night.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Kershaw was at his best. No. I know that Sale wasn't at his best. And it didn't matter.
Yeah, Sale Kershaw.
Did not matter, which is crazy.
Like I said, it wasn't Whitey Ford Koufax. I mean, they're both like legitimate left-handed aces. And neither one got an out in the fifth inning. It was struggling along the whole time. And Kershaw's been uneven in the postseason of his career. He's been good sometimes and really bad other times.
But they've won a lot of games that he started.
Oh, my God. That was ninth game one start. He started nine game ones. That's a lot.
Yeah. Last night, Red Sox, with that win, have a three-run pinch-hit home run from
Nooney.
In an inning, by the way, that you had Moreland to the plate, and he struck out on a high, bad decision by him. You had Bogart strikeout. You had two strikeouts from guys that you would hope you could count on in that spot.
Well, and I mean,
and then with two outs, you get Nooney up there, puts it out of the park.
And he,
that's just.
Yeah, and it was righty on righty at that point. Because again, you know, it was started out lefty on lefty. And, you know, he made his move. They made their move. And then you end up with righty on righty. And of course, second pitch of the at bat, zing into the monster seats. Alex Cora, he should run in the midterms. He's got it going here now.
You know. I'd vote for him.
He is smoking hot.
He is that good right now. 617-779-0985. We got a lot to get to with this game. Brad Stevens is going to check in with us coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Patriots fans, Mark Bertrand here. Ever wondered how to make game day even greater? Simple. Bring Crown Royal to share with your friends, and you'll be the game day MVP. Speaking of those Patriots, we'll be talking to Kyle Van Noy coming up later in the hour. 617-779-0985. We expect that Brad Stevens will be with us in a couple of minutes as well.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Are you practicing?
No.
Are you getting ready for it?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Connor is in Linfield. Hey, Connor.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Quick hypothetical about Game 7. If we have all of our pitchers available, I know Sale was shaky last night, but who do you want starting Game 7, win all, everything?
Chris Sale.
Well, the way it lines up, it would be Sale.
Is that
a hypothetical? Pick a guy? I don't know what we're doing there.
I don't know. Maybe his question is, okay, say you get through 6, and you need to look at it again and say, boy, maybe David Price pitched his ass off in game 2. Can he go in short? I don't know.
Lines up for Evaldi.
I don't understand the question.
Lines
does
up
it?
Evaldi, yeah, because it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1, 2, 3. So you're 3 is your 7.
But you
no,
could,
but I'd want Sell.
But you could pitch him on short rest in a seventh game.
No way I'm doing that with this
I'm
guy.
Saying you could, though.
I'd be amazed if he starts his next start on turn. I mean, this is like, I'm just not buying. And they try to sell
wait,
it.
Wait. You're going to be surprised if he makes his next start, his next scheduled start?
I'll be happy if he does.
Oh, boy. We've got to talk more about that.
I'm not buying into like everything's
yeah,
fine
well,
with
well,
this
hold
guy.
That
he
thought.
Pitched four innings.
By the way, someone called during the break.
Right.
You said righty-righty with Nunez. Right. It was righty-lefty.
So it started
Wood
off with
pitcher.
Lefty-lefty. So the Dodgers did not make a switch. It was just the lefty had already come in.
Right.
And so the righty came up to hit again. He was doing that with Endeavor's. You know, his bat's so hot, that's what made it interesting. Because, I mean, he's knocked in a run in eight straight postseason games. Mm. So you get a lefty out there, you're not going to let him hit anyway. And nope, Nooney's up there, three-run jack.
Thank Let's welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is with us. Hey, coach.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. You?
Good.
All right.
Thanks.
Let's talk about the other day. I know you had the loss to Orlando. I got to be honest, I was expecting you to be more mad post-game. I thought you were not as mad as you could have been.
Well, you know, I don't think it's any secret. We haven't played great for the last, including preseason. Really, have had moments in certain games, but not a lot. And actually saw a lot of progress on the offensive end of the floor, despite making shots and despite not getting to our spots as quickly as we'd like to. So I think that if we can build off that, if we can get to our spots a little bit quicker, if we can play up the court a little bit more, and then I think that we'll be better. But you know, so far it has been certainly not a smooth start to the season by any means. And you know, it's a great challenge coming up because our next few weeks are just loaded, mostly on the road.
Yeah, Coach, I'm going to go back to, you know, even some of the stuff carrying over from preseason where you talked about your depth, your bench, and how important that is, you know, when things aren't going right with the stars. A guy like Baines gets nicked up. How's he with the hamstring right now?
He's getting a lot better, thankfully. I was really worried about that when that happened. Obviously, anytime you're, you know, guys have that muscular injury and the hamstring especially, these games come so fast. You're asked to move in so many different directions in a basketball game on a dime and randomly that I think that, you know, those are scary injuries, but it sounds like he's getting better. It won't be long-term. I don't know if we'll have him back this week. You know, and obviously the sooner we can have him back, the better, especially when you consider that, you know, we've got Steven Adams tomorrow night and then Drummond Griffin two games in a row, and they're really rolling on Saturday, Tuesday.
Hey, Brad, Dan Shaughnessy here. I apologize in advance. I've been consumed with the baseball, so I haven't seen you guys as much as I'd like. But I did.
I would not apologize for that, Dan.
I heard one of your sound bites after that, the last game, and I think you said, if I'm correct in remembering, was we're not as good as everybody thinks we are. Was it something to that effect?
I think that's right. Yeah. You know, and obviously, you know, I think that's shown itself over the last month. Doesn't mean we can't get better, and doesn't mean we can't get really good. But we've got to show better growth than we have thus far. And, you know, I think that's, you know, first and foremost has got to start with just getting a little bit better at doing our jobs on both ends of the floor. And for me, putting guys in position to do what they do best. And this is, you know, as guys come back from injury, as we reintegrate a few guys, it has not been you know, completely smooth, but I think that's usually would be the case. But that said, I think we can play a lot better than we have.
And I know you can't control these things, but it's the world we live in. As the coach, would you rather there not be so much, oh, they're in the finals and all these expectations? Is that a hard thing to work against with your athletes, to tell them not to get caught up in that?
You know, I don't think so. I think that you'd much rather go into the season with the idea that you've got a chance of having a really good team. And, you know, hey, I think the longer that you're in it, you just realize how hard it is to win a single game. And every game has to be played at a great level. And, you know, you even go back to last year, and we ended up getting the number one seed, or the number two seed, excuse me, and we won so many close games in the regular season. And, you know, it wasn't always close games against the four or five best teams in the league. And that's the margin. Like, if you want to be great, you're going to have to play really well. And when you don't play really well, guard well enough to make a few shots at the end to win. That was kind of the case the other night, where our defense has been pretty consistent. That's the one thing that I'm encouraged about, you know, through four games, especially the way the rest of the league is scoring. When you look at the scoring at, you know, on the stat sheets every night.
Coach, we'll talk about Bob Cousy real quick. And you being head coach of the Celtics, you have the ability to tap into these resources of these legends that sort of come around, guys like Bill Russell. But Cousy sent you a letter each and every year and came and talked to you. Touch on that real quick and what it meant to you.
You know, I can't tell you guys, you know, what that means. You know, Bob is into his 90s, and he has written me a letter after season and just been always super kind to me, and, you know, came and spoke to our guys. The new book that was written by Gary Pomerantz called The Last Pass is really terrific. And, you know, very rarely am I the guy with a lot of ADD that I get all the way through a whole book. And, boy, I could not put the thing down, because talked a lot about the history of the Celtics, talked a lot about Cousy, talked a lot about Russell, and talked a lot about Cousy at 90 reflecting on his legacy as a teammate. And, you know, here's a guy that won 6-7 championships before he retired. The team that he retired from went on to win, you know, 4 or 5 more. And yet still here he is being so introspective about how much being a teammate matters. And I think that those things are really important. But, you know, I'm at first and foremost at my core a basketball kid. And, you know, to have Bob Cousy, Satch Sanders, Tommy Heinsohn, Bill Russell, you know, John Havlicek at practices or games is just a joke. I mean, you pinch yourself for sure.
Yeah, it's nice having all that royalty around. Red always liked having the family and guys coming back, and they, to this day, continue to do it. I'm curious, if my memory serves, you came down to spring training, Brad, during the All-Star break. Was that last year?
Yes. And it was funny. My son and I were watching the game last night, and, you know, one of the announcers said something about it all started in spring training. And my son was like, I was there. He was pumped up. He thought that he was, you know, he just kind of looked everybody in the eyes and said, go win it. And boy, they haven't stopped. They've been incredible all year, but what a fun journey they've been on. And it was fun to be there on the first day. And then I've been at a few games since, and game one, the only one they lost to the ALCS I was at. And I thought, for now, maybe I'll just stay away and, focus on our own team, and hopefully they just keep rolling.
How did that come to happen that you were in Fort Myers?
We were on an All-Star break,
right.
And my mom lives in Bonita, and so we were down there for a few days to visit my mom. And so it happens that the first day of practice was the last day we were there, and so I was fortunate enough to go over there. And you know, we were really struggling at that time.
Yep.
You know, we had lost like 4 out of 5. We weren't playing well. And as I told anybody that I ran into there, I just wanted that feeling of the first day of the season again.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was really cool to be a part of. And I think the thing that stands out about this Sox team is they never look like they've lost it. Like, their joy, Mookie Betts, and his smile when he got on base to start the game yesterday, their joy in the clubhouse. You know, I think Alex has done an incredible job, clearly. Like, they just look like they believe they're going to have fun, and, you know, to hell with everything else. They're going after it, and I love that attitude. And it's pretty clear, you know, I hope they can get 3 more, and one at a time, one pitch at a time. But certainly been a blast to watch as a fan.
You know, right now, Alex Cora is being called Midas by many. You know, everything he touches turns to gold. He's on this incredible hot streak. Can you relate to that? Have you ever gone through a streak like he's going through now, where you just feel like every decision you're making is paying off and it's working? And
yeah, last year.
You want that to never end. You want that to continue on forever.
Here's the difference. Knock on wood, I hope that he makes it all the way through. We all felt like when you can – here's when I think you feel best as a coach or a manager is when you're just coaching the sport you're playing. Like, you're making decisions just purely based on the sport because everything else has been put aside for the good of the team by everybody in the building. And, you know, I thought that the Brock Holt decision last week, when Brock goes for the cycle, or against the Yankees, goes for the cycle, the next day gets benched and is in the dugout smiling, laughing, and cheering. Like, that shows that they are all on one page. And all the pitching, you know, everybody talks about the relievers and everything else. Like, all the pitching moves and all the, you know, Nunez batting last night. And that only happens if guys are all just bought in for the good of it. And, you know, Alex has done a great job fostering that with his coaching staff, and the guys have done a great job fostering that as an organization. And now you can just see it. You can see it in their eyes that there's a great deal of belief and a great deal of, you know, team is the most important thing.
All right, Coach, appreciate your time as always. We'll catch you again next week.
Have a great day, guys.
See you, Coach.
All right, Brad Stevens joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. That answer at the end there that he's gone back to about Brock Holt, because he was preaching that to his team, and he's also telling his team we're not as good as you think we are. I think there's, I think there's a little something he's telling his team right now. Hey, Get your heads back in this thing.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's get it going. 617-779-0985. We'll talk to Kyle Van Noy coming up next segment. More with Dan Shaughnessy after these headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub headlines.
Eduardo Nunez and his three-run homer in the bottom of the seventh last night helped catapult the Red Sox to an 8-4 win over the Dodgers in Game 1 of the World Series. You're a hero, Eduardo.
You know, that's weird because I don't care about being a hero. Oh. The sooner we get the win, that's all that matters. We're here to win and lose together, and who cares with the hero that night? Soon we have a hero, that's good to take a feeling because we got the win.
Game 2 is tonight. The Red Sox will send David Price to the mound for Game 2. Once again, it's an 8:09 first pitch. The Bruins got a win in Ottawa over the Senators last night, 4-1. Tomorrow night, they're home to take Flyers. Just got off the phone with head coach Brad Stevens of the Boston Celtics, who have the night off. Tomorrow night, they play the Thunder in Oklahoma City. Yesterday, we heard that the Broncos released quarterback Chad Kelly after he was arrested for trespassing on Tuesday. More details now. Apparently, Kelly was involved in physical altercations with a guest at Von Miller's party and with hired security at the party while being escorted out.
The Pats, the Sox, the Bruins, the Celtics, the Reds, the Sports Hub, the website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Miss something?
That's what happens now.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
And the punt with O'Donnell standing on his 30. He has it shoulder high. And
got
the punt
it,
is blocked
it.
Right up the
pick
middle.
Up.
Blocked by Hightower.
Score.
It's going to be picked up by the Patriots. Van Noy from the 10 to the 5. Raising his arms to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Dante Hightower, baby. Wow. Came right up the middle. Almost took the entire kicker out. Gets the block. Then it's about scoring. Find the ball. Pick it up. Scoop score. Van Noy missed it cleanly the first time. But it's a nice job by Ebner and company walling it off. Like I said, you cannot lose to this football team. You can't.
.11:38 here on Zolak and Bertrand. We welcome in Kyle Van Noy from the New England Patriots. He is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Kyle Van Noy, how you doing?
What's happening? Are you guys ready for the KVN show today or what?
KVN show.
Kyle Van Noy show. Nice.
Absolutely, I'm ready for that.
Nice.
I know you're on to Buffalo. I know you're all about looking forward and working towards that next game. But can we just talk about the touchdown? Can we talk about just?
I guess there's nothing really to it except, you know, Hightower doing all the work and me taking all the glory. You know, what a block that was, and I mean, he absolutely mashed that dude. And I happened to be able to take my sweet time and caress and coddle the ball up and have this convoy take me in for the score, and then I got to give a little shout out to Gronk, you know, so it was a good time.
Robbie G's back here in Foxborough chilling out with
Robbie
the
G, baby.
Hey, what the hell's up with this Trubisky kid getting these big runs on you guys, man? Like, what the hell happened? Because I'm going to call him this game, and I'm like, he doesn't look like Deshaun Watson or Cam Newton, but why was he effective on the run game? Was it just the call defensively? Was it man? Did somebody lose containment?
Was it you or was it him?
Come on now.
It's never my fault. It's always somebody else. Nah, I'm playing. You know, honestly, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it was a little underestimating his quickness and his speed. He's a lot faster than people think and realize. And, you know, I think we went into not really for our defense. You know, the guys weren't ready for that, I don't think. I mean, we were ready in the standpoint that the coaches were telling on us, you know, get on this. And I think the guys weren't. And, you know, we take ownership in that, and we're going to fix that.
When you look at the game on Sunday and you come away from it and you look at what you did well, what you didn't do well, what as a defense do you guys think you did do well in that game?
You know, I felt like we did a good job stopping the run, except the, you know, the QB scrambles. I felt like we were doing well pass defensively, and then, you know, towards the end, we, you know, got a little lackluster, maybe you can call it, or we just need to focus up and continue to. And I think at the end of the day, it's not capitalizing on those opportunities. You know, we had two big opportunities to take the ball away so they don't score, and the penalties in the red area on, I think, a third down and fourth down to give them extra plays. So we're right there. We're really close of just keeping those point totals down and, you know, play complementary football with special teams, which really played well, and then offensively playing well and defensive playing. You know, we just need to get more consistent all around the board, and then we can say we're playing Patriot football, baby.
Hey, Cal, on the flip side, they're starting to feed Josh Gordon more and more each week, and you could see
he's so good.
Yeah, you could see it progressing. You got to get your workout in, what, twice a week? You got to get in there and lift weights. How big is this dude? Yeah. Like, does he lift with his shirt off? Or
I mean, I don't be staring at somebody like that. I'm not going to lie.
Little
you know,
bit.
Offense
I mean,
does their own thing. Defense does theirs. But on the field, you know, anytime you see him, you think about closing or making a tight call because you think he's a tight end.
Yeah.
But it's his Josh Gordon.
So you wouldn't be surprised if he just, you know, all of a sudden next week get an 8-10 catch game for $140, $150 yards. I mean, he's close to breaking what he almost did last week.
Yeah, I feel like anybody, not just him, I don't want to just single out him. I feel like any one of our receivers, they're all that good.
Yeah.
And the complimentary with, you know, Mr. Reliable, James White, and all those guys on offense, you know, they're any one of them are capable of what you're saying, of going for that. Obviously, Josh gets a lot of attention and requires a lot of people, but don't forget Mr. Reliable, James White. My man always comes through.
I know. We take him for granted because he's so damn good each and every week. All right, it's Monday night,
exactly.
Monday night at Buffalo, day before the Halloween. What a freak fest this is going to be. How excited are you to go to good old Orchard Park in that time warp called Buffalo?
Why you got to call it a freak fest?
It's a freak.
Man.
You know
because
it's weird.
Buffalo.
You know it's weird up there, man.
Up there.
My favorite ride into the stadium.
It's going to be a good time. I can't wait for the middle fingers. And
yep.
I think all of us are ready for that atmosphere. We're excited. We're pumped about it. Anytime you can get on Monday night in front of family and, you know, the rest of the league, you want to put on and you want to show what everybody gets to see. And we're ready for it.
Kyle, famously, Randy Moss once asked Bill Belichick to attend a team Halloween party. Is there a team Halloween party this year?
Oh, we got to get Bill up in there, man. It would be cool if he came to the Halloween party.
Who gets you know, that job?
We can't really say anything about it. You know, it's one of those things that's just a secret around here. But no,
right. Right, but who has the job of going in and asking him to go?
Send Ernie in.
Like Randy Moss did at that time.
it's kind of like we keep things, it's the Patriot way, you know? We'll just let you guys think and, you know, mold over what you think's going to happen. And, you know, we might tell you, we might not. It's kind of, we keep it to ourselves over here. Just like, know it's a good time.
Is there
y'all are missing out.
Is there a teacher's pet in that locker room with Bill?
a teacher's pet?
Yeah.
Nah, I wouldn't throw anyone under the bus like that.
You don't have to tell us who it is, but is there somebody?
It's probably Teddy Karras.
You don't have to see. You don't
Teddy
Karras.
I ain't gonna do anybody just,
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah,
that.
Yes,
no,
or
it's
no.
Teddy Karras.
I gotta say, plead the fifth on that one.
That's like a yes. That's like a yes when That's you plead funny. The fifth. When Tom Brady All pleads right. the fifth, we assume it means bad things.
Yeah.
So. Okay. That's funny.
All right, bud.
All right, Kyle.
We appreciate right. it. Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, good fellas. Luck. Have a good one.
Take it All easy. Right. Kyle Van Noy with us on Zolak and Bertrand. There totally is.
He didn't even have to like give us information. Just like the reaction, talking like, back and forth. He's just good. He's good at doing phoners, you know. We need more of that. Gilmore. I don't know if we'll see Gilmore.
Yeah, he's been stashed. Yeah.
Gilmore, if you say, I just like witness protection now after that, man. Hey, go get treatment. We're opening up that locker room to press.
Yeah. You're not speaking to anybody ever again.
Nope. You're going to let you talk to Ben. Host for Gilmore, William Bendix, and Patriots correspondent.
You're a problem, you.
Patriots maven, the best Patriots coverage in the business. Like to ask you questions.
Okay. Yeah. More with Dan Shaughnessy as we get back to the World Series next.
Nice.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
David, the clincher in Houston obviously was a big day for the Red Sox, but also a big day for you personally. You've mentioned some of the narratives that you've been responsible for. Have the days since then seemed a little bit lighter for you? Different at all? Do you feel a little relieved? Do you feel better? I don't know. How would you describe it?
I guess lighter is a good word. Yeah, you know, just yesterday we had media day. I didn't have to. I got to look forward to it for the first time in a long time. Today, you know, it's definitely a weight lifted off of me for sure. Not like food tastes better or anything like that, but it was time, and you know, I'm definitely glad that the time came and we moved past it, and you know, I look forward to doing the same thing tomorrow.
That's David Price. He's going to go tonight in game two. Last night, temperature was over 50 degrees when the first pitch was thrown. That may not be the case tonight, Dan. That may not be the case.
Yeah, we hope he's not out there flexing his hand and pulling on his uniform. And oh boy.
Tuck, tuck, pull.
No, yeah.
But he did that. He did that last week and figured out a way to straighten some things out, got out of a jam, and then pitched his ass off. Tuck, tuck, pulling early.
Hardy's going to have the numbing stingies.
He's over the hump, I'm telling you.
It's all numbing
over the hump.
Stingy.
What
Who
if he's tastes not? Better?
Is he going to be able to grip the baseball?
Could be a little.
He's going to be able to.
Could be a little slippery.
Is he going to be able to look the same way that he did in Houston last week?
Yes. Gripping the baseball. Here's the one that no one's. I mean, there hasn't been enough noise about. Is this myth?
What, the size of the baseballs?
No, this myth that Craig Kimbrell came around because he was tipping his pitches. When you walk the bases loaded, that's not tipping pitches. His hand was sweating like a fire hose in New York and in Houston.
Oh, Eric Kanye fixed that.
It's complete fabrication to make him feel better.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Thank you.
Mental.
He's
by the
mental
way,
loon.
Giving away a DQ gift card by the end of the segment, so don't go anywhere.
Tipping pitches.
All right, don't
walk the bases loaded.
Hold on
Some
a second.
Guy watching TV.
How much tipping goes on when you walk the bases loaded?
I said
this team so well.
As I said last week, last Friday, when this story came out about Gagne and Gagne being the guy who watched, and I said, well, that's the first productive thing that Eric Gagne has done for the Red Sox, so we'll take that.
Doesn't even count.
Thank you very much. Now you still owe us like $10 million back.
Yeah.
But listen, is that the issue that he had? No. No. But I said it's not the issue, but it might be one of his issues.
I suppose. But he wasn't getting barreled up all the time as much as it was. He had no command.
He couldn't find the plate.
His hand was in the dirt.
He couldn't find home
every
plate.
Every time he had a baseball, Schiraldi he
sweats,
up and wanted a new one.
Right? The Schiraldi sweats in full effect.
It was like just
It was not the issue.
Him.
Tipping pitches is not what makes you throw it 3 feet outside. But maybe tipping pitches was a part of his problem.
I was amused by that explanation.
Couldn't both things be happening? Couldn't he be tipping pitches and he just couldn't even find the plate?
It was the latter. The former was maybe 1-2% of something, whatever. Maybe he was doing something, but it wasn't like that was not his problem. I mean, clearly.
Could have been a problem.
I mean, but last night, a four-run clean inning. He's your man. You know, three-run clean inning. You know,
couldn't help but notice that last night. He looked back to his normal self now that it was a four-run lead.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it's those one-run things you worry about or you know, Yankee Stadium, whatever. Remember when the night they clinched 2 years ago, he walked the bases loaded and Kelly came in and gave up the salami to Teixeira, and they lost the game and won they qualified that night. That was
right.
A big party.
Right.
But yeah, so there's something about New York with him too. Anyway, he's free from New York.
Right, that's when they were popping champagne bottles and was like, what the hell are they doing? What is this team doing?
He does look better. He looks a little bit more. And again, it's so cold out tonight. There's no way he's got the
flops.
All right,
well, that's
Kimbrel.
I'm more concerned with Price tonight.
Okay, Price.
I'm more concerned with the starting pitcher.
I told you last week, and I appreciate that you played my audio the next day. My victory lap.
Absolutely.
And I still feel that way.
Even though I think you were being somewhat facetious.
He's locked in, baby.
I didn't fully believe that you were being honest when you called.
No, I was.
I don't know that I believe that.
Well, you were sort of right when you said if you say it every time, sooner or later, that'll happen. You know, there's that.
Yeah, and which is why I thought you're just doing this to say it every single time.
But I did feel
and
it.
And knowing that maybe at some point you'll be right.
2,000 miles from Fenway.
You were keeping the faith that that dog was going to have his day.
And they had three chances to win one game. There was no pressure. He wasn't home. And I said, this is teed up for this guy. It was a reverse lock game. Verlander at home, you knew they were going to win that game.
What's the pressure tonight?
I don't think it's that much. It's sort of house money still. You know, they won the game. People think... There's a little bit of, like, cockiness around here. People are thinking 4 or 5, and I don't blame them. The way the Sox are playing and the flaws that the Dodgers obviously have and the fact that no Boston flaws get exposed, they don't matter. Nothing matters.
I didn't believe it was going to be a 4 or 5 game thing when this series started, and after last night, I don't know how I'm supposed to refute that idea.
Right.
I have no idea how I could say right now, oh, this is going 6 or 7. The Dodgers are a good team. Because I don't feel like the Dodgers, Dan, were ready for this series. I don't feel like they were ready to go last night, and I think there are some things that we've heard from them in the aftermath of last night that I think sort of exposed them a little bit, including what their pitching coach, Rick Honeycutt, is saying. We'll get to that after the top of the hour. Yeah. Because I look at them, I look at, like, right out of the gate last night, that pop-up near first base, and Freeze is totally misses it. Like, what's going on here?
Roberts basically called them all out after the game, too. He said, that wasn't a very clean game. We're better defensively.
I was going to say, outside of Manny Machado, it's short. Defensively, they sucked last night. There was nothing good that was going on there.
They had three utility
injuries. I couldn't believe that Leon hit got through to the right side.
Oh, my
God. Like he just basically put
exit
the bat
velo,
out there.
52 mph.
It was 52.
Yeah, it was 52.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Under the speed limit.
You could
is what it was. It was under the speed limit.